If you want to be turning into your Bibles, we'll be studying this morning, at least the first part of our lesson, from the first chapter of Ephesians. So if you want to be turning over to Ephesians 1, we'll get there shortly. I appreciate the opportunity to bring the lesson this morning, and of course you heard in the announcements. If you're visiting, I'm not our normal preacher. I'm filling in, so just bear with me, and we'll have Matt back next Sunday. So if you look at Disney as a corporation, maybe billions and trillions of dollars. You know, I'm not sure how big they are. I should have looked it up. Anyway, they're one of the biggest Hollywood production companies in the world. And I would say the majority of their business has been built around their princess movies. Yes, Mickey Mouse is probably the most well-known, and Steamboat Willie was Walt Disney's first cartoon. But I would say the wealth of Disney was built on their movies about the princesses, going all the way back to, you know, Snow White and Seven Dwarfs and then Cinderella and on and on. And the whole theme of these movies were these princesses. And there's the allure there, and everyone associates with those princesses and them becoming, you know, in many cases they didn't realize they were princesses, yet they were of noble birth. You had Cinderella, who was, you know, the slave to the stepmother. You had Snow White, who was living in poverty with the unwanted, you know, dwarfs in the forest. And you had this feel-good story about these people who overcame all of this and were royalty. And so you see, as humans, you know, we wanted to kind of put ourselves in their shoes. And in so many instances, literally, we got little girls putting themselves in their shoes because there's princess shoes everywhere. Half of them light up. And Morgan grew up wearing those as well. And so, but yes, that part of humanity, we put ourselves in their shoes and, oh, that could be me. Every little girl out there, I could be that princess. I could be royalty. I could be, you know, a future queen. And so that's the draw or the allure of so much of Disney. And as children of God, as followers of God in Christ, we have something so much more than that. We are royalty. Every one of us who are in Christ are princes and princesses because we are of royal family. Our father is the king. Not only are we children here on this earth, but we are heirs to the kingdom of heaven. And so this morning we're going to look at Ephesians 1, and this morning's lesson is going to concentrate on us being children of God and heirs of God. So, starting in Ephesians, we're going to read the first 14 verses. It's a little lengthy, but all throughout here is pieces that we want to get. So, Ephesians 1, reading from the New American Standard. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus, who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth in him. Also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that who were the first to hope in Christ should be to praise should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. We see from this passage in Ephesians, in verse 1, it says, as Paul addresses them in the letter to the Ephesians, he says, and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. So we see that this letter is to those who were faithful. We see that this letter is to those in the church at Ephesus who had chosen to follow Christ. In verse 4, we read that just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, we see that this was God's plan all along, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. Verse 5, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. It works out perfectly. James Edwin's lesson this morning in Galatians, let's flip over there real quick because it just fits. It flows right into our lesson this morning. So you had in Galatians 2 there, Paul correcting Peter that they should not be holding the traditions of Jewish law. They should not be separating themselves from the Galatians. The Gentiles there who were Galatians. So chapter 3, verse 6 of Galatians says, even so Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify all the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations shall be blessed in you. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. So you see, we are of that royal lineage, but it is because of our adoption. I don't know that anyone in here is a physical blood seed of Abraham. Following back as far as my Megan did the follow your family tree back as far as we could here a while back. And it's pretty amazing how far you can go nowadays and how much there is to find. But I don't think I went back to the seed of Abraham. Pretty sure I did not. And I don't think many of us in here would physically be the seed of Abraham. But we are through adoption. And that's what Paul was telling them in that letter to the Galatians. It didn't matter if they were born a Jew. What mattered was if they had chosen to be a follower of Christ. And that's how they would be a child of God. It no longer was determined on their birthright through blood. It didn't matter what tribe they were of or if they were a tribe of all, because we are all seeds of Abraham through that choice in believing and acting on that belief in Christ Jesus. Moving on from Galatians 3, let's look over into Galatians 4. Because you see that just like those Disney stories we talked about where you had someone coming from a pretty pitiful state all the way into royalty, that is us. Spiritually, we are in a very pitiful state without Christ. And we are adopted into that royal lineage. Let's look at Galatians 4 in verse 1. And we're going to read Galatians 4 verses 1 through 7. It says, now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from the slave, although he is owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So also while we were children, we were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who were under the law, and that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has set forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So we see we are children of God. We are heirs, even though prior to that we were in such a pitiful state. When we choose to believe in God and to follow Him and be obedient to His Word, we have that rags-to-riches story about us. And so much more than that, because it's not just rags-to-riches, it is a lost, pitiful state with no future, no inheritance, except for the inheritance of eternal punishment. We go from that being our inheritance to inheriting a kingdom of heaven with God the Father. As children of God, we are truly valued. When you look at us as His servants and as His children, we are a prized possession of the Lord. He puts a lot of value in us, and if He didn't, why would He have paid the ultimate price with His Son? He gave all for us. And when you look at that, we are a possession of His. And oftentimes we study, you know, about how we should treat others, and rightfully so. The Lord tells us that we should love our neighbor as ourself. The Lord tells us that we should love the Lord with all of our heart and soul and mind. And part of that is how we treat ourselves as His possession as well. If you were given something or put in care of something that belonged to a king. Let's just say in this case we don't have a king in the U.S. We have a president. The Clintons were real well known for their dog. I think the Bushes all had dogs. For whatever reason, President Trump doesn't have a dog. But let's say the President of the United States put you in charge of his dog for a month. And there's all the fanfare, all of the news companies out there, you know, they're videoing it. The dog's coming to Southwest Arkansas, and you're about to take care of the president's dog for a month while he's gone traveling. That possession is special to him. It means something to him. He's invested a lot in it, and here you're going to take care of it for a month. What would your attitude be for taking care of the presidential dog, the first dog? Whether you like dogs or you don't, I think you would see the responsibility involved here. I doubt you would just toss the dog in the backyard and say, good luck, we'll see you in a month. You would probably make sure the dog was fed appropriately. You'd make sure that it had whatever care it needed, whatever diet, whatever medicine. You would probably take care of the presidential dog. And I know that sounds silly, but that would be a prized possession of the equivalent of our king, you know, here in the U.S. But how much more are you than an earthly possession like that? You think of you as an individual, as a person. Think of your physical body. Think of your spiritual body. Think of your mental health. All of these things. How do you care for something that is a possession of the King that He truly values in you? So let's look at 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19, and let's see how we take care of what is truly a possession of our Lord. It says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. So I would encourage us, based on this scripture, to make sure that we take care of ourselves. Make sure that we strive to bring glory to God, because that's what our existence here is all about as children of God. And let's always remember that we have been bought with that price, and that price was the blood of Christ. So also, we see that we are children of God here on this earth. We talked about in Ephesians 1 that we are both children and that we are heirs. The children would be what's taking place in the present time. We are not just future royalty. We are that here on this earth. We, as I said earlier, being kind of silly, we are princes and princesses, but we are. We are children of God. We are children of the King. And part of that is having our Father in heaven who listens to us now, who is here for us and listens to us. Let's look over in Matthew, the 7th chapter. And we're going to read how God the Father cares for us. Matthew 7, starting in verse 7 through 11. And we'll read what it means to be a child of God. Matthew 7, 7 through 11. It says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give him what is good, give what is good to those who ask him?" You see, Jesus uses this analogy here of an earthly father. And he says, pretty much, if you have a father in a household whose child asks him for food, what is that father going to do? Generally speaking, the father is going to give him food. Yes, I know there are some very evil people out there. And there are some fathers who leave and don't take care of their children at all. But in a general speaking term, society, fathers take care of their children. And even though there are some very sorry individuals out there, when their child asks them for food, they don't throw rocks at them. When a child asks them for meat, they don't throw a snake at them, something that's going to do them harm. Just the general love for one's offspring tends to the basic function of life, which is food. And he's telling us our Father in heaven is so much more. He is holy. He is perfect. And when we ask of him, he will provide for us if we but ask. And so part of being children of God is having that relationship with him. But Jesus is also emphasizing in this that we have to talk to God. We have to pray to God. We have to have that relationship with him. We read of his commands in the inspired word, and communication needs to be two ways. How does he hear from us? But through prayer. And Paul says to pray without ceasing. And I think we could all strive to improve our prayer life. I know I certainly could improve the amount of time that I spend in prayer with our Father in heaven. So we've mentioned being children of God in this present time and the blessings thereof. But now let's look to us being heirs. We are looking forward to an inheritance. We read in Ephesians about us being heirs. And so now let's look over in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll look to the future of our inheritance. 1 Peter 1, we're going to start in verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but you believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. So we see here we are heirs to salvation as children of God. We are heirs to heaven. Verse 4 said, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. We mentioned earlier the little fairy tales about the princesses and they would inherit, you know, their parents' kingdom. We have so much more than that. Even though this morning when I got up and I looked at the beauty of the Lord's creation, as the sun rose and the trees and the grass, and it was a very beautiful morning, and the beauty of the Lord's creation all around us, in the plants and animals and the beauty of His creation in the human body, and just so much. But we're told heaven will be beyond anything we experience here on this earth. Whether it's emotional or physical or anything that we see, the beauty of it, heaven will be so much more. Because there will be no sickness. There will be no dying. There will be no pain. There will be no hurt feelings. That's what we have to look forward to, is that eternal promise and inheritance. And we see that we have that available to us because of that price that has been paid through Christ's blood if we but choose to obey. And that leads me to our next point. All of these things that we have mentioned, being a child of God, being an heir to salvation, being an heir to heaven, these are still things that take our choosing. It takes action on our part as well. Yes, that is predestined before the foundations of the world that God would provide that grace for us. But unlike these little fairy tales that we talked about, it still takes choices on our part to become that adopted child. For the Lord to adopt us and us to be called a child of His, we have to make that choice. Let's look over in Romans, the 6th chapter. Romans, the 6th chapter, we're going to start in verse 16. Romans 6:16 says, do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? So we see here in life, we are making a choice. Whether we think we're making a choice or not, we are choosing to follow the Lord or the alternative, which is following sin. And so we see here that we are obedient to sin or we are obedient to righteousness. So that is the choice we are making. Continuing on, verse 17 says, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. So we see here, yes, God has chosen us. He has paid the price for us, but obedience is key. If it wasn't for the grace of God, none of us would have a choice because we're getting what we don't deserve. Every single one of us deserves punishment because of the sinful life that we have had. But God has paid the price, and if we are obedient to Him, we have a way out. Verse 18, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you? than deriving from the things which you are now ashamed. For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification, and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we see here that we have a choice to make. We can choose to be slaves to sin, or we can choose to be the offspring of God. He said there in verse 23, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But that gift has to be something that we choose. It has to be something that we are obedient to, the calling. So from the lesson this morning, I hope that we all gather that we are children of God if we make that choice. If we have, and if you have not made that choice this morning, if you have not repented of your previous sinful life, if you have not confessed the name of Christ and been buried in a watery grave of baptism, then sadly, this morning, you cannot be called a child of God. You are not an heir to salvation yet. That opportunity presents itself this morning, as it does every single day. And we would encourage you to make that choice before it's everlasting too late. We are truly, if we make that choice and that decision to be obedient to the Lord, we are truly children of God and have the blessings thereof. Hopefully we can all look forward to being heirs of salvation, heirs to the kingdom of heaven. And this morning, if you have a need, if you need to come before the church, or if you need to obey the gospel, you have that opportunity to do so while we stand and while we sing.